A personal life pattern is important for individual discipline and overall peace of mind. All of creation itself was created by God to exist in a predefined pattern. The sun always rises in the east and does so at a correct preordained time. The work engine of the whole earth functions optimally when it sticks to its pattern, for instance, the 9-to-5 workday, 5 workdays in the 7-day week, etc. You get the idea. The child of God needs a pattern. The great prophet Daniel, he had a pattern. 3 times a day, Daniel formally sought the Lord. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel's enemies knew his pattern and plotted against him, but all their efforts and schemes earned them and their families was a trip to the lion's den, and this time the lions ate. My personal pattern is simple but effective. If you have no pattern, I think you'll find this one effective for you too. First, my pattern begins here, though it has no fixed time on the clock. As long as I am in this life, I will arise, so when I arise, I call God blessed. I go about brushing my teeth, shaving, and showering. And as I do these morning tasks, I praise God in my understanding and the new tongue also. I sing a song or two unto the Lord. I get before the Lord on my knees in prayer and commit the day. At breakfast, I also feed my spiritual man. His food is the bread from heaven, the word of God. Second, as I go about the duties of my day, I frequently meditate upon the marvels of his beautiful book. It's a good habit to print a verse or two on a 3x5 card and post that card someplace where you will often see it. On my desk, I prominently display a card with Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. At lunchtime, my pattern includes walking for 30 minutes and communing with God in this time. Third, just like with the start of my day, the end of my day, my pattern follows no clock. As long as I'm in this life, I will retire at the end of my day. Here I get before the Lord on my bed in prayer, and I end my day reading the Holy Scriptures. In the faith, a personal pattern is highly beneficial. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again, as Jesus said in John 3:3? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again means exactly what it says, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God. Have you tired of this world's empty promises? Do you want free of all of Satan's bondages in your life? Do you want to live a life full of God's joy and marvelous eternal purpose? If you have answered yes to these questions, then today is your day of salvation. In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you do, today you will participate in the greatest miracle man can know. Today all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. Today all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, and the word is all. At this moment, your eternal soul is in your own hand. How you respond to this invitation will seal your eternal destiny. Here is the prompt I promised. Do it now. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Romans chapter 1, 25 through 28, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 through 12, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." God said, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Man said, "I'm living the dream." Yeah, well, okay, well, maybe sometimes it's a nightmare, but I know who I am. Well, really, I think maybe I need to find myself. But who gives a fat rat anyway? Impressive, wouldn't you say? Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1207, that will once again certify the supernatural inerrancy of God's Holy Bible. All of these word-centric features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as a platform to convince the gainsayer. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting today. May God's face shine upon you with grace and truth. Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God and the end of the world in Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 through 43. "The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." The end approaches quickly. Yes, we are cautioned to not set a time for Christ's return, for only the Father knows that time. However, we are all warned to watch the signs of his return. Mark 13, 35 through 37. "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." The Word of God tells us that a global spiritual mindset will rule over the earth at the very end, and that mindset will be a spirit of blasphemy. The God Said, Man Said 21 Signs of Doomsday series, presently featuring a sub-series titled Absurd. Each of these features has led with the following foundational information. Commit this to memory. It is known as the doctrine of imminence, which is the teaching that Jesus Christ could return for his church at any moment. This was the doctrine of the New Testament church, and it remains the same today. The time of Christ's return is hand in front of your face close. The Bible informs us that a general state of mind will prevail over the earth at the time of God's world-ending judgment, in which Romans chapter 1 describes the self-proclaimed wisest amongst us refusing to retain God in their knowledge, resulting in their being turned over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a worthless one, and the glaring results of this state of mind is a deep spiritual wickedness and a headlong dive into homosexual perversions. Romans 1:21 through 28. because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Possessing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12. It addresses the spiritual mindset of the world at its very end. Does this sound familiar? And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The reprobate professors of the world's academic institutions have taught their students that evolution is the God of creation. According to evolutionists, there was a big bang out of virtually nothing, and boom, here we are. Your first cousin is a mushroom, your second cousin is a banana, and your father is a monkey. To those revelations, the whole class parroted, "Wow, isn't evolution awesome?" The blind professors have convinced their blind students that they can, in fact, see. And as Jesus said, they have both fallen in the ditch. Matthew 15:14, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Remember, think eminence. Think soon. Think now. Daniel 7:25 speaks of Satan's last day efforts against the saints. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Satan's plan is to wear out the redeemed with a constant barrage of bold-faced lies. The carnal man finds it easier in many cases to believe a lie over the truth. This is a matter of heredity, like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. Absurd, yet the world's academics bow. Mathematics has a concept called absurd. The following excerpts are from Dr. Chuck Missler's book, Beyond Coincidence. "While nothing is considered impossible in statistics, merely highly improbable, there has to be a point in mathematics where it's justified to call it quits and say, enough's enough." In his 1962 book, Probabilities of Life, mathematician Emil Borel suggests that probabilities become too negligible to worry about on a cosmic scale after 1 in 10 to the 50th power. Odds of 1 in a trillion, 10 to the 12th, may not get many investors, but it's still remotely possible. On the other hand, a chance of 10 to the 50th is inconceivable. It's defined as absurd. 1 in 10 to the 50th power is defined as absurd, Dr. Missler continues. There are large problems with the argument that this macromolecule developed through random processes in ancient bacteria. The 20 protein-forming amino acids exist among hundreds, and from those 20, the brutally long sequence of amino acids has to line up in precise order. The amino acids have to be chained together just right, or the protein doesn't fold properly, and oxygen cannot attach and release in the manner precisely balanced for life. The number of possible arrangements in a polypeptide of 574 amino acids from the 20 basic ones is 10 to the 650th power. To suggest this complex protein formed by chance is ludicrous, end of quote. Absurd is defined as 10 to the 50th, so then 10 to the 650th is absurdity magnified 13 times. The mathematical probability of occurrence of complex organisms is terribly low for biological evolution and higher for biological abrupt appearance. Schutzenberger of the University of Paris, at a conference on mathematical challenges to the neo-Darwinian interpretation of evolution, concluded that the probability of evolution by mutation and natural selection is not conceivable. We believe that it is not conceivable. In fact, if we try to simulate such a situation by making changes randomly at the typographical level on computer programs, we find that we have no chance, i.e., less than one chance in 10 to the 1,000th power, even to see what the modified program would compute. It just jams. Thus, to conclude, we believe that there is a considerable gap in the neo-Darwinian theory of evolution, and we believe this gap to be of such a nature that it cannot be bridged within the current conception of biology. Ambrose of the University of London also finds that for the emergence of new species, the probability is so small in terms of known age of the universe that it is effectively zero. One example is the information content of essential enzymes, which is unimaginably vast, according to famous astronomer Hoyle, formerly a professor at Cambridge and director of its Institute of Theoretical Astronomy, and mathematician-astronomer Wickram Singh. The essence of his argument last week was that the information content of the higher forms of life is represented by the number of 10 to the 40,000th power, representing the specificity with which some 2,000 genes, each of which might be chosen from 10 to the 20th nucleotide sequences of the appropriate length, might be defined. Evolutionary processes, Wood Hoyle said, require several Hubble times. Each Hubble time is the time since the postulated Big Bang, to yield such a result. The chance that higher life forms might have emerged in this way is comparable with the chance that a tornado sweeping through a junkyard might assemble a Boeing 747 from the materials therein. Remember, in mathematics, the odds of 1 in 10 to the 50th power is considered absurd. So the chances of 1 in 10 to the 40,000th power is absurdity magnified 800 times, end of quote. The absurdity of unbelief is so easily demonstrated, yet men choose to believe a lie. Strong delusion prevails globally, a prominent sign, one of the last signs of doomsday. In feature one of this absurdity sub-series, we listed 14 short excerpts from highly credentialed scientist Dr. J.F. Ashton's book, Evolution Impossible. The following abbreviated segments will convey the gist of the article. Further shortcomings of the theory of evolution were pointed out by the Rutgers University philosopher, Dr. Jerry Fodor, who in an extraordinary article titled Why Pigs Don't Have Wings, presented very strong arguments as to why Darwinian-type natural selection cannot be an effective basis for species evolution. Dr. Fodor's piece attracted a lot of comment from other scientists, and he went on to develop his arguments further in a recent book co-authored by Dr. Massimo Pietelli-Palmerini, professor of cognitive science at the University of Arizona, titled What Darwin Got Wrong. Dr. Jerry Fodor is quoted as saying, basically, I don't think anybody knows how evolution works. This statement is a far cry from the confident assertions found in biology textbooks and museum displays. Furthermore, nobody knows how evolution works because nobody has ever observed evolution. It has never been observed in the past, and it has not been observed in the laboratory. Thus, the improbability of life occurring in the simplest cells with the corresponding molecular capacity vastly exceeds one chance in 10 to the 150th power, which, please note, is the number one followed by 150 zeros. In other words, abiogenesis is absolutely impossible. That is, living organism cannot arise by chance from non-living matter. Remember, mathematically, absurd is defined as 10 to the 50th power. The odds of even the simplest cell evolving by chance are so impossible that they are absurdity magnified 3 times. Also, on the basis of the levels of mutations observed by Dr. Lenski's team and the probability of all this new genetic information arising by chance is so close to zero as to be impossible, it follows that much of the so-called geologic column is simply a record of the extinctions that took place during the flood and volcanism catastrophe. Subsequently, it is very plausible to conclude that evolution has, in fact, not occurred. End of quote. Feature 2 of the Absurdity subseries employed the laws of probability to demonstrate the impossibility of evolution from the first single cell and forward. It revealed that evolution is more than just absurd. There are many magnitudes of absurdity to evolution. Feature number 3 addressed soft tissue, including blood cells, collagen, delicate laminin, and elastin found in fossilized bones, purported to be tens to hundreds of millions of years old. How could it be? Simply, it can't be. The word to remember is absurd. The following excerpts are from last week's feature. Nearly 30 years ago, the world of evolution was shaken to the core by the discovery of soft tissue fossils, and the quaking continues. Evolutionists were forced to the tall grass to huddle together to update their unbelief. How could fossils purported to be in the millions of years old still contain soft tissue that, given that much supposed time, hadn't decomposed away or fossilized? Unfortunately, the discovery wasn't a fluke, and soft tissue fossils continue to be unearthed. The absurdity of soft tissue and even blood cells in fossils claimed to be tens of millions of years old is hard to juggle. Dr. Jonathan Sarfati and Joel Tay address soft tissue fossils in their book Titans of Earth, Sea and Air. Excerpts follow. The discovery of soft tissue and other unfossilized organic biomolecules in dinosaur fossils has been one of the most exciting areas of creation research in the last quarter century. These discoveries are highly problematic for the idea of evolution in long ages. That's because real operational science can measure how quickly these would break down. Thus, none of these organic compounds should remain if they are really millions of years old. When scientists first discovered dinosaur soft tissue, many evolutionists insisted that these findings had to be fraudulent. There was no way, they said, the soft tissue could last millions of years. Of course, they would not consider the dinosaur bones are not that old. However, the sheer number of examples in the scientific literature, combined with lots of rigorous testing, exposes that these discoveries are quite common. At the time of writing, there are over 58 dinosaur soft tissue discoveries spanning 31 scientific journals, and most are from just the last decade. Suppose we include non-dinosaurian examples, such as birds, reptiles, and sea creatures that evolutionists claim to be millions of years old. In that case, the number increases to around 120. Creation scientist Dr. Brian Thomas even earned a Ph.D., in paleobiochemistry from the University of London for his work on ancient and fossil bone collagen remnants. So this is now a well-established field of study. But if these dinosaur soft tissues are not millions of years old, then they call into question the dates assigned to the rock layers. Without millions of years, there can be no time for evolution to happen. Not that evolution would be possible even if millions of years were granted. That is, millions of years are necessary, but not sufficient for evolution. In one study, collagen was found in dinosaur samples that were dated at 195 million years old. Consider this shocker found in the book Creation Basics and Beyond by Brian Thomas. One British researcher said that the naturally mummified skin of a hadrosaur fossil that his team excavated in North Dakota was absolutely god-smacking. The skin still has the original dinosaur reptile scale. You'll find these confirming excerpts in the April-June 2024 issue of Answers Magazine under the title Evolution's Issue with Soft Tissue. Calvin Smith writes, by 2015, evolutionists were reporting on how an accidental discovery of blood and collagen in several dinosaur bones could rewrite textbooks. Soft tissues have now been found in well over 100 fossils, including dinosaurs, mammals, birds, plants, reptiles, amphibians, clams, insects, sponge, worms, and more. Not only that, but these fossils have been found all over the world, exposed to a wide variety of environmental conditions, cold, hot, wet, and dry. They have been found throughout the fossil record from the Cambrian to the Triassic, Jurassic, and Cretaceous periods, and at all different levels, the oldest being a marine worm, supposedly 551 million years old. Soft tissue found all over the world, at all levels of the fossil record, fits beautifully within a young Earth time scale. These soft tissues, defines, are the remains of creatures that were buried during the Genesis flood, showing once again that what we see in God's world matches what we see in His Word, end quote. A strong spirit of delusion will prevail at the very end. Look around, it is here. In God's initial instructions to His creation, He uses the phrase, be fruitful and multiply, Genesis 1:21 and 22. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Genesis 1:27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. From animal to man, to be fruitful and multiply is the God-given instruction, and God has built a mating lore into each of his creations that draws the male and female of the species together for the purpose of procreation. In an article in the April-June 2024 issue of Answers Magazine, you'll find the following under the title, Made to Multiply. Headline, Rhythm of the Heart. Male palm cockatoos tap out a beat to impress a potential mate. If a female is nearby, a male will use his beak to whittle a drumstick out of a seed pod or stick. The female watches attentively as he carves. Once his tool is finished, the male drums a unique rhythm on the side of the tree in hopes of charming his adoring audience. Headline, Artistic Amour. A male white-spotted pufferfish wins over a potential mate by dragging his belly and his fins across the ocean floor to create intricate sand art. After the male works 24 hours a day for about a week, the design can measure nearly 7 feet in diameter. The male might even decorate his masterpiece with shells. If a female likes what she sees, she lays her eggs in the circle's center. Headline, Dancing King. Around sunset, a group of female mandarin fish gathers on a Pacific reef to watch multicolored males perform vibrant dance. If a female is attracted, she'll join the male for a dance, resting on his pelvic fin, cheek to cheek. The two will swim off into the sunset or something like that. Headline, Dress to Impress. A male fan-throated lizard is always dressed to impress with his colorful throat flap called a dewlap. To court a mate, he'll extend his throat fan rapidly in a dramatic dewlap display. Headline, The Lovebird. The male Argus pheasant performs an elaborate courtship dance that includes foot stomping and a feather show on a special stage that he prepares by clearing sticks and rocks from the forest floor. Headline, Falling in Love. The broad-tailed hummingbird has a heart-stopping way to prove his worth to a female. He flies high and dives headfirst in a flash of iridescent feathers. Talk about showing off. End of quote. In Dr. Jennifer Ackerman's book, The Genius of Birds, she speaks of the spectacular mating rituals of the hummingbirds. And imagine, she notes that the ruby-throated hummingbird weighs about 3 grams, which is less than the weight of an old penny. She writes of hummingbirds. Not only does their rapid wing beat of up to 75 times per second suck up calories, so do their high-speed chases of rivals and their diving, waggling, zigzagging shuttleflies to attract mates, end of quote. God said, be fruitful and multiply, and even created the mating lures. Von Vett and Malone have a few things to say about this amazing creation of God, the hummingbird, in their book Inspired Evidence. Hummingbirds migrating from Minnesota meet their greatest challenge when they cross the Gulf of Mexico. They must fly 600 miles nonstop across the Gulf waters to reach South America. They do this in 18 hours. The hummingbird has to be the most amazing flying machine ever envisioned. It can beat its wings up to 80 beats per second, fly backwards, forwards, and sideways with ease, fly up to 50 miles per hour, hover in place, refuel in flight, and migrate thousands of miles. To accomplish such feats, it needs lots of fuel, nectar from flowers. The hummingbird gets this nectar using its long, thin beak as it hovers over the flower. Hummingbirds do not sip up nectar like using a straw. The bird has a special tongue that is curled up at the edges to form two troughs. The tongue moves in and out of the bill at an unbelievable rate of 13 times per second. Each time its tongue retracts into its beak, nectar is squeezed down the throat. When finished, the tongue, which can stick out farther than the bill, is pulled back and wrapped around the skull. The hummingbird's ability to hover is enabled by a unique swivel shoulder joint that allows it to produce a figure eight with its wings. To fly backward, the hummingbird tilts its wings ever so slightly so the air is forced backward. All this happens so quickly that the wings are a blur to the human eye. No other bird has this feature, and there is no fossil transition showing how it could have developed by evolutionary processes, end of quote. The so-called wisest among us have reduced the marvels of God's creation to some explosion out of nothing, a fortuitous accident, the ultimate free lunch. According to these reprobates, the tiny little wonder called the hummingbird used to be the ginormous Tyrannosaurus rex. And the whole class, drones and slack-jawed unison, wow, isn't evolution awesome? We are looking at the end of the world, where reprobate minds and strong delusion control the global discourse, expect absurdity stacked upon absurdity. I need to know it's true, absolutely true, because everything depends upon God's word. I must be fully persuaded. Be of good cheer, child of God. God's word is the unassailable, inerrant truth, even true and righteous altogether, a place the Buddha life that will last forever. I must be fully persuaded. Where there is doubt, the mountain won't move. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God said, 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God said, Daniel 7, verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Man said, I'm living the dream. Well, maybe sometimes it's a nightmare. I know who I am. Well, really, I think maybe I need to find myself. But who gets a fat rat anyway? Impressive, wouldn't you say? Now you have the record.